gentlemen, Ed Bowersman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, dost thou alone sojourn in Jerusalem and not know the things which are come to pass in these days? It is written, and beginning from Moses and from all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. It is written, and they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent. It is written, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. It is written, and they rehearsed these things that happened in the way, and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread.
God is just a prayer away.
And behold, two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was 80 furlongs from Jerusalem. And they communed with each other of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass, while they communed and questioned together, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what communications are these that ye have one with another as ye walk? There are loyal hearts, there are spirits brave, there are souls that are pure and true. Then give to the world the best that you have, and the best will come back to you. Give love, and love to your life will flow, a strength in your utmost need. Have faith, and a score of hearts will show their faith in your word and deed. Give truth, and your gift will be paid in kind, and honor will honor meet. And a smile that is sweet will surely find a smile that is just as sweet. For life is a mirror of king and slave. 'Tis just what you are and do. So give to the world the best that you have, and the best will come back to you. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to this message called Hearts of Fire, the story of the two on the road to Emmaus. The story of the two disciples on the road to Emmaus is one of the favorite accounts of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Perhaps the reason is because we can all relate to it. If it is said that Moses and Elijah came down and walked with Jesus, or even if he had walked with two of the apostles, inspiring and instructive though that would have been, the fact that they were people who were not well known is something that relates to us. The resurrection is the greatest event that ever took place on this planet, and it would seem fitting for Jesus to appear to kings and generals or other great men of the earth. But in the appearances that were made to underscore this momentous event is the appearance of two ordinary people, and that is why we can relate to it. The unnamed disciple is every person who knows that Jesus is the only hope we have of going to heaven. So on that day when Cleopas and his companion left Jerusalem to walk about 7 miles to the village of Emmaus, they were talking between themselves about the resurrection. As they were discussing this event, Jesus fell in with them and walked with them, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. Many today have eyes that are holden. They cannot see Jesus. His sacrifice on the cross and resurrection, their eyes are holden by ignorance. Many a person is listening to me at this moment who has never heard the gospel plan of salvation. And that is why in such a vast audience as this, it is necessary to spell it out every time we come to you with this message. While you may have heard it many times, there are thousands this day who have never heard the answer given to the penitent believers the day the church began. Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Others cannot see Jesus because their eyes are holden by prejudice. They have already made up their minds about the Lord before they come to the Bible, and then go blindly on through life without getting a clear view of the Master. Other eyes are holden by unbelief. Paul reminds us, the devil has blinded the eyes of them that believe not. So their eyes were holden that day. Notice it says, as they communed and questioned together, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are thinking and talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, it is a sure thing that he is going to show up somehow and some way and walk with you. They were asking questions about him, and he one time said, "Ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you." Do you know that Jesus may have walked with you many times, even though your eyes were holden, and you did not know him? He asked them about these communications they had one with another as they walked. The way he put the question aptly summed up their conversation. They were throwing questions back and forth at each other like two people throwing a ball back and forth. Cleopas may have said, "How was that stone rolled away?" The guards were there and would have stopped them. The other one said, "Do you think those two men in dazzling apparel had anything to do with it?" Cleopas said, "What is all this talk about no body found in the tomb? What happened to it?" The other one replied, "The apostles heard the same story, and they don't believe it. They said it was idle talk." Cleopas said, "And what's all that stuff about those two in dazzling apparel, saying he is risen from the dead?" The other one said, "Why, they even said Jesus said he would be raised up the third day, and asked if they remembered him saying that, and they said they did not, and they left the tomb and went home." It was at this point that the Lord said, "What are these communications that ye have one with another as you walk?" They asked him, "Are you alone, the person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard of these things?" He said, "What things?" And they told him about the crucifixion and how their hopes were in Jesus, and now that he's dead, all is lost. They had thought he was the Messiah, but obviously they were mistaken. Think about that. They believed that Jesus had come to redeem Israel. They believed he was a prophet, mighty in word and deed. All they believed was true, but something was missing, like millions today who believe a lot of good things about Jesus. He's a good man. He's a great prophet. He's a great teacher. He's a great leader. But something is missing, and that something is the resurrection. No wonder Jesus said, "Oh, foolish men, and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken." Then he began to preach to them the greatest message ever heard on earth. He opened unto them the scriptures and showed how the Bible had spoken of this event. Some of the Old Testament scriptures he must have used would have reminded them how God told the serpent in the Garden of Eden, "The seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent, and the serpent will bruise his heel." He must have reminded them of the story when the people were bitten by serpents, and Moses lifted up the brazen serpent in the wilderness, and how that was a prophecy that he also would be lifted up. Then after he told them how the head of the serpent was smashed at Calvary, and how the devil's cunning was set at naught, he reminded them probably of Isaiah the prophet, who said, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." Then he told them of how Isaiah said also, "For unto us a child is born, Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. How could he have overlooked Isaiah when he said, He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. And how about those graphic words? But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. They listen to all of this, speechless and spellbound, and then noticed that it was getting dark, and they had arrived at their destination. And they said to him, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent. They noticed that he acted as though he wanted to go further. They said it was getting dark, and asked him to abide with them, and he came in at their invitation. Jesus never enters a home where he is not invited. He may knock at the door, but there will be no forced entry. Since he made them think he would go further, just how much further he would have gone had they decided to keep on walking with him. I know for a fact that you can always go further with Jesus. How far do you want to go? We can all go further in giving, but you'll never be able to go as far as Jesus went. You can always go further with him in the study of the Word, but never as far as Jesus went. You can always go further with Jesus in prayer, but never as far as he went. He always goes further. He accepted their invitation and came in, and then seemed to take charge of the household. He presided at the table. He took the bread, then blessed and broke it. And then at that moment their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and that very moment he vanished out of their sight. Although it was dark, it was moonlight that night. They had just celebrated the Passover, and that feast always comes in the season of the full moon. So in the moonlight, they went as fast as they could back over those 7 miles to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and told them, The Lord hath risen indeed. And they shared with them their experience of how they had been with him and know him and knew him in the breaking of the bread. Ladies and gentlemen, the marvelous thing about these men believing on the Lord and his resurrection was that in their particular case, they believed on him for another reason than the fact that they actually saw him before he vanished. Their faith in the resurrection would be the same as all those who lived after the days of the apostles. Their hearts burned within them. Their hearts were on fire when he opened unto them the scripture. Their hearts were on fire because he spake to them in the way while he opened unto them the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, when Jesus vanished out of their sight of Clopas and his companion, they admitted to each other that their hearts burned within them as he opened unto them the scripture while he spake to them in the way. It was the teaching of the Bible that set their hearts on fire and convinced them that Jesus had arisen from the dead. Their basis of faith was the same as ours. We never saw him risen from the dead, but we can believe that he was raised from the dead because the Bible says so. The gospel song sums up the truth for us when it says, We saw thee not when thou didst come to this poor world of sin and death, nor yet beheld thy cottage home in that despised Nazareth. But we believe thy feet did trod its streets and plains, thou Son of God. We gazed not in the open tomb where once thy mangled body lay, nor saw thee in the upper room, nor met thee in the open way. But we believe the angel said, Why seek the living with the dead? The scripture that Jesus opened to them was the Old Testament. You see, the New Testament is the Old Testament concealed. The Old Testament is in the New Testament revealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament contained. The Old Testament is the New Testament explained. The story of the two on the road to Emmaus is a story of the open Bible, the opened eyes, and the open tomb. Luke tells us when he was known to them in the breaking of bread. In the Sistine Chapel in the Vatican, we saw a large tapestry on the wall of two men sitting on either side of a table. One was Cleopas, the other his unnamed companion. On the other side of the table was Jesus holding the bread in his hand and seemed to be looking straight ahead between the two men at anyone looking at the picture. As I approached from the left, the table had shifted, slanted in that direction, and Jesus appeared to be looking across the table between those two men directly at me. As I walked even with the tapestry and looked directly full face at the picture, I noticed the table had shifted, and Jesus was still looking between the two men, straight at me. I passed by and turned back to look at it again, and the table had shifted again, and Jesus was still looking between the two men, directly at me. Luke tells us when Jesus took the bread and blessed and broke it, he gave to them, and their eyes were opened, and he vanished out of their sight. They rose up that very hour and went back over the 7 miles to Jerusalem and told the 11 and they that were with them how they had seen the risen Lord and how he was known unto them in the breaking of the bread. The artist who painted the picture has given us an illusion of what happened. But the story of the two on the road to Emmaus is not an illusion to the Christian. When you take the Lord's Supper, whether you're seated on the left side of the auditorium, in the center, or on the right, it is no illusion that Jesus is looking directly at you in the communion service as our view of him as the crucified, risen Son of God is renewed in the breaking of the bread. When he broke the bread, there is no way they could have missed the sight of the nail prints in his hand. Later on that night, he would appear before them again as they told the story to the 11. He told them, and he told them to see his hands and his feet, that it was he himself. So the nail prints were there for all to see. While this statement about the breaking of bread was not the Lord's Supper, the church had not yet been established, and these two knew nothing of the Lord's Supper. They had not been present when it was instituted a week before. Only the 11 were there. At the same time, this story does present to us of the view we receive of Jesus during the Lord's Supper on the Lord's Day, just as they saw him on that Lord's Day in the village of Emmaus. Remember, Luke tells us, as soon as he was recognized, he vanished out of their sight. The appearances of Jesus to the apostles and others was important, but his disappearances were equally important. It is important to notice how he vanished. A great lesson is provided. It appears during the 40-day period between his resurrection and ascension, he appeared suddenly several times and then vanished. Then he appeared again and vanished. It may have seemed to them they could never tell when his next appearance would be. That should be a reminder to us. At his ascension, he vanished from view from this world. His next appearance will come just as suddenly for us at the second coming as it was for the apostles after the resurrection. In an hour that you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Their hearts were set on fire when they knew that Jesus was risen from the dead. Their hearts were blazing with such fire that Luke tells us, and they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them. Their hearts were so fired up that they retraced 7 miles they had just come. Only on the return trip, it was in the dark. If the moonlight was not enough that night, the fire in their hearts lightened the way. Lightened the way to carry a message they could not afford to be put off until the morning. The need to proclaim the story of the resurrection had set their hearts on fire. One time the Lord said to Jeremiah, "Behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire, and this people wood, and it shall devour them." God asked a question to Jeremiah when he said, "Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that will break the rocks in pieces?" Perhaps you've heard the old saying, "If that doesn't light your fire, your wood is wet." Jeremiah knew the feeling. He became so discouraged that he said, "I will not make mention of him nor any more speak in his name." In other words, Jeremiah said, "I'm burned out. I quit. What's the use?" Then he said, "But his word was in my heart like a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing and could not stay." That was the story of Cleopas and the other disciple. Their hearts were on fire, and the fire was shut up in their bones. They could not wait till morning. The story must be told, and told now. Jesus is alive! Jesus is alive! Jesus is alive! The telling of the resurrection story cannot be put off, because the time is short. They did not know it, but in little less than 40 years, Jerusalem would be destroyed by the Romans. Hundreds of Jews would be crucified outside the city until they actually ran out of wood to make crosses. There was no time to lose. Jerusalem must hear the message and hear it now. Then, too, they had no guarantee that they would be alive the next day, and the story must be told now. In particular, we cannot afford to delay getting the message to those folk who are reaching the biblical age allotment of 70 years. Then think also of the condition of the world. Can this world go on too much longer without bursting at the seams? At any moment, the meltdown may begin, the trumpet may sound, the passing away of the earth with a great noise, and the appearance of the Son of Man on the clouds, heaven with power and great glory. Those who have hearts of fire cannot wait. The story must be told. And ladies and gentlemen, it must be told now. We don't have to exhort to greater giving, attendance, or faithfulness in any area of service. Those whose hearts are on fire, those who sit in the ashes of indifference to the truth, can never be motivated to take the good news anywhere. This is not the story of the frosty bones gospel, but the gospel preached and supported by those who have fire in their bones. Listen to Cleopas and that other disciple again. Did not our hearts burn within us while he spake to us in the way, while he opened unto us the Scriptures? Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address: Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again: Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition, tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.